As I saw Tim come and sit in the front row, it reminded me of a time when I was at college and I went to a little Welsh chapel called Pont Lotin. It's up in the head of the valleys. And it was a very small gathering of people. If you go to Wales, you preach to the church in the chapel. They distinguish between the two. And the church was a barn of a place which was almost falling down. And so we met in the little schoolroom at the side. And the deacons and elders sat all along on the front row, watching the preacher. And when you started to quote a verse of scripture, so the deacons just took it over and they finished the verse for you. So that's what I'm looking for. If you hear the word storm mentioned, I wonder what sort of picture you conjure up in your mind. It could be the sort of image that we have seen recently on television concerning Hurricane Sandy and the terrible destruction caused by this hurricane, this superstorm. As the sea was whipped up into a frenzy and the wind increased, and torrential rain poured down, causing untold damage to property, utilities, and sadly to life itself. Or maybe the picture that comes to your mind is of storms you have witnessed or experienced. I don't know if you've ever been caught up in a storm at sea. It can be the most frightening experience you can go through. Many years ago in my much, much younger days, I went on a sailing boat called the Winston Churchill, which was a topsail schooner. And on our particular trip, or one of the legs of it, we went from St. Peter Port in Guernsey, and we were to sail to Falmouth in Cornwall. We set out from St. Peter Port, fine, lovely. And as we came away from St. Peter Port and made our way, so a most horrendous storm came upon us. And we were taking down sail like nobody's business. We were going along at sort of over 45 degrees over. One side of the vessel was totally awash. Those of us who were on deck at that time had safety harnesses to make sure we stayed on board. And there was even talk of lashing, binding the person at the helm to the wheel to make sure they could stay there. It was a truly horrendous experience. Or maybe you can remember the storms with the high winds and torrential rain of the late 1980s, which caused so much damage as trees were uprooted, fences at the end of our garden were blown down, and it was just utter chaos. But there are other types of storms as well. Storms that are not to do with wind or rain, but the storms we can experience in our own life. Those times when our life seems and feels as though it is being tossed about all over the place, buffeted not by literal wind and rain, but by the events or experiences we are going through, the trials and the temptations we are facing. And in our reading this evening, we read about those who were experiencing storms, storms which we could describe as raging both externally and internally as well. In the first part of the passage, there is a storm on the Sea of Galilee. The journey for Jesus and his disciples across the Sea of Galilee, or Lake as it's referred to in the NIV, has started out uneventfully. A little bit like our journey from St. Peter Port to Falmouth. All going smoothly. We've been told that Jesus had fallen asleep in the boat. But it was to change all so suddenly. Now that wasn't unusual on the Sea of Galilee. Because of its geography, it was prone to sudden eruptions of storms and all these sorts of things happening. You know, tremendous storms just coming down upon the lake so quickly. And it happened on this occasion, for we read. As they sailed, he, Jesus, fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. And let's remember that this was a journey not being made in some mini cruise ship or large cabin cruiser with a high-powered engine, but rather an open sailing vessel, leaving the occupants vulnerable and exposed to all the elements. A truly terrifying experience, leaving them feeling in danger, at risk, at a loss to know what to do, and from their actions and reaction, unsure whether they would even come through this event or not. The second part of the passage, there is a very different but equally real storm raging. Here, as Jesus moves into Gentile territory, he is met by a man in whose life a storm is raging. A man whose life was internally in turmoil. A man who was captive to a power he personally had no control over. For we're told in the passage that he was demon-possessed. And the more we read of this man, the more desperate we see his situation was. He was naked. Here was someone who had lost his dignity, or had his dignity taken away from him. And many folk will testify that to lose their dignity is to lose something very precious indeed. We read also that he was homeless and isolated. He had not lived in a house for a long time, but rather amongst the tombs. I don't know if you've ever experienced homelessness. The only time Joy and I were anything like homeless was when we were selling a house and trying to buy another one. And the people buying our house or wanting to buy it said, well, if you don't sign, we're going to pull out the deal. So our friend said to us, come and stay with us. You're very welcome. It's only going to be for 3 weeks, isn't it? Yes, it's only going to be for 3 weeks. So we sold our house and we moved in with our friends and their little baby and their huge basset hound. The problem was that 3 weeks became 3 months. And that feeling of having nowhere which we could call home, nowhere to put our roots down, was a very strange experience. But here was a man who was totally homeless, as it were, being pushed from pillar to post, wanting to find someone but nowhere he could put his roots down. To say he was in a bad way is something of an understatement. His life was not his own. Others had tried unsuccessfully to restrain and subdue him. They chained him hand and foot and kept him under guard, we read. But it was unsuccessful. Why? Because it did not address or deal with the cause of the inner storm which was raging within this man's life. Here was someone in whose life a storm caused by the activity of the devil was raging. And it's important that we recognize that. Not to become paranoid, but to recognize the real, true activity of the evil one. Here was a man in whose life we see the reality, the power, the control of the evil one. A man whose life had quite literally been taken over. So is it any wonder that a storm was raging within him? And so here in this passage, we're confronted with two different, yet two very real storms. We have examples of storms, trials and tribulations, even temptations that are very real, which Christians, as well as non-Christians, can and often will experience. There are those times in our lives when it seems as though our lives are out of control, or certainly out of our own control. We can feel as though we are being swamped as day by day we are caught up in a variety of different storms, our own personal storms, both external and internal, yet very real storms nevertheless. And storms can be caused by a variety of different things. Possibly storms can rage inside us as we're confronted with health issues we'd rather not have to confront. And we find our life suddenly being blown all over the place. Maybe concerns over work issues or issues faced at work, and a work environment can at times be a pretty stormy place to be. I have to say that having worked in a shop for nearly 23 years and having been a minister for 23 years, I experienced more storms in the 23 years of ministry than ever I experienced in the 23 years of shop work. To be literally threatened in a church service, to be verbally abused in a church service, to be confronted afterwards by snarling Alsatian dogs as the person at the end of the lead wanted money. Life in ministry, as Tim and we all know, is not plain sailing and easy. Maybe the money worries are something which are causing a storm in our life, and we wonder however are we going to be able to cope, however are we going to be able to manage. Maybe for some it's issues relating to housing or family problems. Or maybe it's the storms we saw something of in Children in Need on Friday night. I don't know if you watched much of it, but the stories which were being told were heart-wrenching. And Joy and I watched part of it, and as we looked at it, we suddenly found our past confronting us. As we watched a couple on the television, and we looked at each other and we said, we know them. They were in our last church. And it was a couple who lost both their sons, Thomas and Harry, to a degenerative, just to make it the word out, disease. And they set up a fund in honour of Thomas to provide music therapy. And we did something for that fund in the church, and Lucy, the mum, and Harry came along to receive the gift. And Harry had this huge smile that went all across his face. That was in November. In December, sadly, Harry died. And I had an email from Tim, the dad. Will you hold a Thanksgiving service for us? And I thought, oh, that's going to be a biggie. And it truly was. The tears flowed readily from everybody who was there. The church was packed. I was glad our health and safety lady was not there, because she would not have been happy with the amount of people there were in the congregation. We had chairs everywhere. We packed in over 300 people into the chapel. And as this clip of film was just finishing, they showed there's a shot of the inside of the church that we were pastoring, and the outside is there was this mass balloon release which took place. It was a most moving. But their lives were being tossed all over the place, to lose both children and to know that they could have no more because the risk was too great. Maybe the storms of our lives are not caused by those sort of issues, but maybe by envy or jealousy. Being envious or jealous of what other people have got. the lives that other people live. Or maybe it's storms caused by trials and temptations we face day by day. The challenges of each day of how to live out our lives for the glory of God. As the evil one tries to pull our lives about all over the place, basically ending up trying to take control. These are storms Christians can experience, and it's important that we don't get caught up in the idea, the false idea, that somehow being a Christian will make us immune from the storms of life, because that simply is not true. And let's not forget that Jesus himself, while he was here upon earth, experienced storms in different ways. There are storms of temptation that Jesus faced in the wilderness as the devil, the evil one, tried to manipulate Jesus to go his way, rather than Jesus to go the way of his heavenly Father, to be obedient to the will of his Father. And there was this tussle, this storm which must have been raging within Jesus' life as to which way to go. Not forgetting, in the Luke version, verse 13, it comes in chapter 4, where we read, "When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time." The devil had not finished with Jesus at this point, and he wanted to go on finding ways where he could try to manipulate Jesus to do his bidding. The storms experienced in Jesus' life as he was buffeted about, not by wind and rain, by the actions and reactions of others to his message. The rejection he experienced as others felt challenged, as others felt uncomfortable in his presence and reacted at times both verbally and ultimately physically as they nailed him to a cross. But amazingly, even as the cross drew closer, we see the calmness in Jesus' life. We see an inner peace, even at a storm, time when the storm was raging, a peace that came through a trust in his heavenly Father. We read in Luke's Gospel, "Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.' He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.' An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." If Jesus experienced the storms of life when he was here upon earth, let us not be surprised that as we seek to live out our lives for God's glory, that our lives can also become a very stormy place, experiencing ourselves being blown and tossed about from one place to another. Being a Christian does not somehow make us immune from the storms of life. But it does raise the issue of how do we cope in such situations? Where do we turn? Who do we turn to? Where do we, when we find our life being blown all over the place? In those times when we are fearful and even frightened, and let us not kid ourselves that being caught up in a storm of whatever kind, whether it is out on a small boat or a sailing ship, or the storms we experience in our lives day by day, they can at times be truly frightening experiences. In those times, what we need is to be shown one who has power and authority to help us. We need someone who can take control of the situation to be able to calm the storm that is raging in our lives and bring peace into a turbulent situation. And that person is Jesus, who is the Christ. Because whilst we personally experience the storms that can result in us being blown and buffeted from inside and out, pushed and pulled all over the place, we are in trouble. Real trouble. If for some reason we start to think we're able to bring about peace and calm in our own lives, we need at those times to be able to shift the attention away from ourselves and onto Jesus. And in that sense, to make Jesus the center rather than ourselves. To focus on Jesus. For Jesus to give us our bearings, or to use a nautical metaphor, our anchor to hold on to. These are the times when we need to keep focused on Jesus. You may remember the problem that Peter got into when he responded to Jesus' call for him to walk on the water. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. I have to say, whenever I read this, I think I would have stopped at that point. I'm not sure I'd actually been that keen to get out of the boat in the first place. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" Why keep focused on Jesus? Because in each of these storms we have read about this evening, it's not those who are caught up in the storm who are able to bring about calm and peace within their own lives, but Jesus Christ. It is only Jesus who is able to calm the storm and bring peace into turbulent situations and lives. And as he does so, he reveals his amazing power and authority. And we must never lose sight of the power and authority of Jesus. His ability to make a difference in people's lives, to make a difference in our lives, even in our lives, to bring calm to troubled waters and to give us his peace. This was important for those early disciples who were with Jesus. And it's equally important today for all who seek to follow Jesus and to be his witnesses. We need to know his power at work in our lives to bring about calm and to give us peace. And for our part, because I do believe we have a part to play. When we're caught up in the storms of life, which can come upon us unexpectedly at times, we can either flounder around and just flap our arms and everything else, or we can turn to the one who can help us, the one who has power and the one who has authority. It is during the storms of life, whether external or internal, that we need to have faith. We need to turn to Jesus and to place our faith in him, the one who stilled the storm, the one who brought calm into the life of the demon-possessed man. A faith that those early disciples at times struggled with. Those in the boat with Jesus that day, they struggled with it. Peter, bless him, struggled with issues of faith. So let's not be too quick to judge them, but rather to ask ourselves the question, in those times when we are buffeted by the storms of life, what is our reaction? Who do we turn to? Where do we turn? I wonder, do we simply become overwhelmed by it all? All that is going in our life, going on in our life? Or do we have the faith to turn to Jesus and to cry out to him? Faith in Jesus that will not necessarily take us out of stormy situations we're in, but will rather and importantly bring about an inner calm and peace as we go through the storms of life, as we experience afresh his power at work in our lives, his love and his care for us. There is a saying that goes, confidence is the child of experience. And though it may seem hard, it is as we experience Jesus' help, his love, his care, his power at work in our lives, in the storms of life that toss us about, that our confidence and our trust in him can grow. So as we experience the storms of life, as we go through the storms of life, however they may come, let us have the faith and the confidence to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who has the power and authority, the one who stilled the storm and set the demon-possessed man free, and the one who can still the storms that we encounter and bring about a peace and a calm within. I want to close by reading the words of a hymn that we had a few Sunday evenings ago. The words which are going to be very familiar. I'm going to read the three verses straight through. There is a chorus, and the chorus is more well known. And maybe by the time we get to the chorus, you're going to want to sing it rather than me just read it. But we'll see what happens. O soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour, and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. And the chorus goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the power and authority that Jesus had. Power and authority over the wind and the waves, but also power and authority even over demons themselves. Help us, we pray, as we face the storms of life, as we feel buffeted about, as we wonder what is going to happen next, may we have that renewed confidence in Jesus, as by your Holy Spirit we experience his work in us afresh, day by day. And Father, we pray for those in whose life storms are raging at this time. Whatever the cause of the storms may be, we pray for peace and calmness in their hearts and lives. And Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy expressed in Jesus to meet us and help us in our times of need. And thank you for the knowledge of Jesus' hand upholding us day by day. And we give you our thanks in his precious name. Amen.